This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, hola, Keta, and welcome to our PNG listeners. Big show planned for you with Xavier Coates joining us today after scoring one of the best tries in NRL history. And of course, hello to everyone and welcome to Nijan Footy, the place where we shine a light on all our incredible Pacifica talent in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is the man who could only do what Coates did if he had a trampoline handy. Tinira Arona T. You got some good hops on you, eh?
Kia ora, Sammy. I find it funny how we get a big star on our show and you want to, out of all the moments, now you want to introduce Xavier Coates, but you didn't want to do all our other guests. So to all of our other guests, apologies for my mate here. And he wouldn't be able to do that try with a trampoline. But what a try it was. Very unreal. That game was absolutely insane against the Warriors. Xavier has scored the best try in NRL history. So looking forward to having a good chat with him. Multicultural round coming up this weekend in the NRL. And yes, we are multicultural every week here in Nijan Footy. We'll also catch up with our good friend Shelley Long, and she'll be keeping us up to date with all the women's footy across the Pacific and Australia.
Yeah, beautiful. We have a belt of a show planned, so let's strap yourselves in and get into it.
Moment of the week.
Sammy, I believe you have the moment of the week, a special moment that happened over in rugby union.
It was, and it's got to do with someone's debut and how he found out and how he played. So, Jay Fonokalafi, he found out in a very special way, and I'm going to leave it to the audio and then we'll talk off the back of that. But what an unreal way to find out that you're going to make your debut, professional rugby debut.
Yeah, no, I was just at work. We just finished pouring cement, and then one of the managers rocked up, just said to have my phone by me and just stay ready. And then he called me around midday and after pouring cement and just gave me the news there and just caught me by surprise.
What about
pouring cement the day before and then getting told he was playing Super Rugby the next day
against the Blues? So he's a Waratahs player, and he comes of Tongan heritage, Jay Fonokalafi. Imagine that. You're getting the phone call. What's that? 24 hours?
Didn't he score the winning try?
No, he didn't score the winning. It went down in a nail biter. The Waratahs just lost 12-10. He only got about 7 minutes. He scored a try from a driving maul. And well, that's such a special way to receive the news that you're going to make your debut. He's a little bit older as well. I think he's 27, 28. He's told his family, and they've made the trip straight over from New Zealand to watch their son play. And, you know, after the game, just seeing his smile, seeing him still have his headgear strapped up, you know, well after the game, and just walking around and just seeing the people that, I guess, have supported him on his journey. But, T, have you got a story, I guess, that matches a debut like that?
There's a few stories that go around, but there was one guy that played for the West Tigers. I believe that one of the players in the warm-up got injured. He was size 13. He goes out. The coach goes out, or the manager, and says, who's size 13? Looking at his extended squad that might have went out the night before and came and watched the boys that day. The player was put his hand up that was size 13, and I believe he ended up scoring a try and making his debut for the West Tigers.
So that was a criteria. If you fit his shoes, it's
you're in.
Cinderella story. How good's that? Well, there you have it. That was Jay's debut. Hopefully he gets many more.
Hi, I'm Robert Derby from North Queensland Cowboys, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yes, footy results and news. What a weekend of NRL footy. I'll start with a debut for the Cronulla Sharks, Tongan Tuku Hau Tapuha. Now, this guy is 114 kgs. He is 6'5". Is that taller than you, Sammy?
Oh, you've just described me. Yeah.
6 foot athletic, five, lean.
Jaw that could cut a cake. It's just beautiful.
He come on, played 10 minutes and had five carries and made 53 metres in 10 minutes of footy.
Five carries in 10 minutes?
Yeah. Absolutely killed
just
it.
Just wanted the ball. Wow.
Just went after it. But congratulations to Tuku that played for the Cronulla Sharks. We're also seeing you tip the Cowboys. And our guy, Valentine Holmes, kept it very, very interesting. Missing a kick from that sweet spot that I always speak about where Lima Supuanga always misses from because the kickers don't practice from there. What were you thinking at that moment?
Oh, you know, because as everyone knows, I'm off to a flying start with my tipping in both codes. No good. And watching Valentine Holmes set up for that kick, I'm watching it. I was like, come on, bro, please put this over. And he didn't, and I was devastated. But
They still got the job done. They beat the Knights 21-20 in Golden Point. And in my opinion, the game of the round was the Storm versus the Warriors, but I'm going to save that one for Xavier Coates to chat about. Can't believe we still got Xavier Coates on our show on Nisian Footy. So I've got two goodies for you, Sammy. And first up, we have the Battle of the West. Now, this is where the Parramatta Eels take on the Penrith Panthers, two teams from Western Sydney. You know, this rivalry, it goes back to all the junior footy days. It's one where all the locals look forward to watching. And, you know, this one didn't disappoint.
You went out to, obviously, you went to school at a St. Dominic's in Penrith, which Nathan Cleary go to that school?
Yep, Nathan went there.
Yeah, plenty of superstars. Michael Jennings as well. Plenty of superstars have come out of there. Like, playing in that system, what's the week like, even at a junior level, when you know you've got Parramatta that weekend?
Always at the start of the season, when you're representing Penrith Panthers as a junior, you're looking at the schedule and you're trying to find when you play Parramatta Eels because you know it's a big one now. Howard Matthews, when I played, I was under 15s. We won the grand final, beating Parramatta Eels. SG Ball grand final, we lost to Parramatta Eels. And we ended up, when I went to the Roosters, a lot of those Parramatta boys ended up in the same squad. And I was like, man, I still hate this bloke, eh?
Just because he was from Parra.
You still keep that rivalry.
Anyone in particular that was like...
It was Jason Pateri. So,
oh, you don't like him?
No. We didn't like each other. And then, you know, we represented the same team. And, yeah, he became a really good friend of mine. But, you know, those rivalries are always good. And, you know, this one on the weekend in the NRL, the Eels led at halftime 18-16. But the Panthers coming back to win at home 26-18. The Eels losing their winger Bailey Simonson in the second minute of the game to a failed head injury assessment. So we've seen the Tor Samoan forward, Kelma Tuilangi. He played out of position at centre. He'd done his best, but his opposite centre, Tor Samoan teammate Isaac Tungo, he took advantage and had an absolute blinder of a game. Tungo made 6 line breaks, 9 tackle breaks, 245 metres with the ball in hand, and 1 try assist. Yes, the list keeps on going on, and he scored a try of his own.
That's a catch taken and then lost by Russell. Picked up by To'o. It's play on. 6 more. 2 metres out. The ball quickly played to Garner. Garner one-hander away to Luai. Then to the right. Cleary. Long ball Edwards. Cut our ball. Tungo. Tungo dummy. Gets past Harper. Steps past Brown. He's over to score.
I know Tungo's try was outstanding, but Moses Leota's try, does he need to be kicked out of the front rowers club? Because that footwork and pace to the try line, he should be in the centre. He should be at fullback.
That was actually insane. The only thing is that if it's not Isaac Tungo keeping Moses Leota out, it's Taylor May.
Yeah.
Who killed it.
Well, yeah,
so
true.
It's like, all right, Moses, you stay in the middle and keep doing what you're doing. But a great try from Moses and a great win for the Penrith Panthers. In the second game, I had the Dolphins bounce back and go hammer time on the Knights. You know, after
a nice, mate. We'll play that. Yeah,
we're back with the headlines. But after a disappointing defensive performance last week against the Cowboys, the Dolphins keep the Dragons scoreless, winning this game at home 38-0. 7 tries scored from the Dolphins. Jermaine Isako scoring 1 try and kicked 5 from 7 goals. Sammy, your cousin Isaiah Katoa, he started at halfback. He had 2 line break assists, some real nice touches, and had a nice right to left pass to put Jake Avarello for a try assist.
Yeah, he was disappointed not to be in the team the first week, wasn't named. He's obviously used that week, you know, to continue to work hard and fuel the fire. So when his number got called, his name got called, he'd be ready. And well done to him to bounce back like that, because I know he wants to cement his start week in, week out with the Dolphins.
Oh, mate, keep playing games like that. You know, he'll have nothing to worry about. But the star of this evening was Samoan Torres Strait Islander Hamiso Tabuai-Fidel, running 209 metres and scoring a hat-trick. Yes, 3 tries for the Dolphins.
Kafusi to the 20, a couple of plays in. Now to the left, they're confident now. Oh, through the hands. Avarillo puts Bostock down the wing, up to halfway, up to the fullback, chips in field. Here comes Hammer. Hammer dribbles. Hammer! Dives on the ball in the league's club in goal. You can't touch him at Finland.
You can't touch him at Finland.
Well, remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia, and you can hear more commentary like that. That was outstanding. In the Q Cup, we've seen PNG Hunters lose to the Central Queensland Capras 38-18. This is like a PNG show today.
It is.
Got a fair bit going on.
Best listeners in the Pacific, I think, PNG, Fiji.
Next to our Vanuatu listeners. Yeah.
Nah, we all love our listeners out in the Pacific. Keep listening to Indonesian footy, where you'll hear everything.
And that's it for rugby league.
Is that it for rugby league?
That's it.
I must say, rugby league impressed me last weekend. There were some great games of footy and packed out stadiums too. It's actually wonderful to see. And all of our Indonesian talent killing it.
It's a bit of a sour face over there.
Yeah, because we're moving on to the big crowds in the rugby union.
Like I said last week, man, just keep taking them over to Fiji.
Yeah, that's it.
And then you'll get the crowds.
Absolutely. Well, we'll start off with Moana Pacifica. And I think for them at the moment, they're playing a brand of footy that everyone is enjoying to watch. And it looks like they're enjoying themselves. They definitely look fitter this time around. T, you know, when you first started NRL, see, when did you feel like you had that match fitness where it's like, okay, I'm good now. I'm not really blowing as hard as the first two. Like, how long did it probably take you?
Probably about 8 years. As a middle, you don't really get that match fitness you understand your role. So, yeah, nah.
Well, I guess that question goes out the window. Don't worry. I'm not going to relate it to
it. Let me return to how long did it take you to get that match fitness?
Yeah, it didn't happen for me either. But for Moana Pacifica, it's happened. You know, I feel like, honestly, their match fitness, their game understanding, and the way that they want to play, I think third year in, Tana Umanga has got them firing. And as I said, they look fitter. They're more organized. So you just watch them off the ball, the way they get off the ground, because you don't want to spend like more than 2 seconds on the ground because you're out of play. They're working hard to reload into position. And I think their communication between their backs and forwards is really, really good cohesion there. So they've got some well-executed tries. And we saw that from the big man at the ripe age of 38 years of age, Seko Pekepu. Scores a nice try off of a beautiful tap move that they did. So that game understanding on where they are in the field to pull trigger at the right time, they're doing that.
Are these players based somewhere and they have to leave their home cities and then travel to one area, then they go through the season in that space?
Yeah, they do. So they'll come together early Jan.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of Sydney-based players. There's some players over in New Zealand from other provinces, and they try and get some more in from the islands as well.
And where are they based?
They're based out in Auckland.
So in saying that, that's pretty much their family, so they get that extra time together, that team chemistry, and you know, you've said it, maybe it takes one or two games for them to understand the on-field stuff, but there's a really cool saying that I like passing on to teams that I coach. There's a big difference between wanting to push for someone or having to push for someone. Now, having to is just because it's part of the game plan,
yep.
But wanting to is the relationships that you build off the field. you know, so you're pushing, you're wanting to push for your brother, and it looks like the Moana getting to that point.
I love that point too, because it just shows how much you care. And they are doing that, like even in their defense, like they're working hard early, getting their spacing right, and they're putting on some dominant shots. And what I loved about them as well, we had Todd Aikifu on last Friday, on Nisian Footy Fridays, and he highlighted Kyron Thamoifalau, the young Tongan winger. He scores a magnificent try off a line out that went over the back from Summer Malolo, Samoan hooker, who had an outstanding game as well. Catches it, passes it back on the inside to Kyron, and he swerves his way through and scores a beautiful try. And so, yeah, I'm really loving the way Moana Pacifica are playing at the moment. Their group, their leaders, they're all humming in the right direction. So I think that game against the Western Force where they got up 22-14, yeah, for Moana Pacifica, if they keep going like this, we're a third of the way through, and if they keep performing like the way on the weekend, they could be in or thereabouts come finals footy time. So I'm excited for that.
Jumped into the top eight. I just find it funny how you're almost a third of the way through the season and the NRL just kicked off.
It's a sprint, the old Super Rugby. But yeah, hopefully we get some more games later on, because we don't want to be forgotten about too quick. It's already happening.
And the Crusaders haven't won a game.
First time in their history, bro.
First time, four in a row?
Four in a row. Never lost four in a row.
Pressure on the coach.
Yeah, Rob Penny is a good coach too. He's a good man. I had him at the Waratahs through the lean years as well, where we lost every game. And I genuinely feel for Rob Penny. Like, he's a good man manager. He's just adopted another young team. It's not the same Crusaders team as the one that's won seven in a row before. But none of them are using that as an excuse. It's business as usual.
Hey, live or die by the sword.
That's the one. That's just part and parcel.
Part of the game.
Part and parcel, absolutely. But the other one, the Fijian Drua, they went over to Hamilton, play against the Chiefs.
Yes, I tipped the Chiefs.
Did you? I thought you chose a Drua.
No, I said I apologise to our Drua fans for tipping the Chiefs only because they were travelling away.
Yeah, look, you're not wrong. High-scoring game, but playing the Chiefs in Hamilton, it's always a tough game. Like, they always do, like, I think it's like one of the hardest places to play footy, other than playing in Fiji, but playing in Hamilton in front of their Chiefs mana crowd. Like,
is that the Cowbells?
Yeah, the Cowbells. Yeah. They're pretty ruthless over there, and they lift to new levels. But one thing I did like about the Drua, they started the game fast and they started well. Like, Mick Byrne, in all of his pre-match conversations in the press, would always talk about, want to start fast, want to put points on early. And they did that through Yosefo Musi. He scored two beautiful tries straight away. But as I said, the Chiefs are a quality team. They play up-tempo. They play with a lot of width and a lot of bodies in motion. So you see a lot of players, as soon as they pass with width, they're getting second touches. And that, when they bite in on that defender and they get that extra ball away, it just creates that overlap on the edge, and they found a lot of space on those edges.
Ends up wearing down the defensive line.
Absolutely it does, and it shortens the defensive line, and that's where they put them to the sword a little bit in those areas. But I'll tell you right now, some of the players that I'm really excited about for the future for the Drua is locks and back rowers. Young 21-year-old lock Mesake Vodevode. He is, I think I mentioned him last week, 6'5". Guns on him, probably a little bit smaller than mine and yours too, especially that one that you tore. but no, he's a specimen. And I think, you know, there's another back row, Vilive Miramira and Etione Wanga, the back rowers. I think another couple of pre-seasons under their belt, they could be anything. They'll be world class, because some of the carries that they had to do in the tight, they were just getting momentum. They were making that advantage line. And they're tough carries too when there was a brick wall in front of them.
Do you see when they start, you know, playing well, being good rugby union players, other clubs starting to throw big money on them at them, and then they have to leave?
Well, I know for a fact that, say, for Celestino Ravutamanda, the winger, they have fielded a lot of calls from France saying, clubs in France going, we'll buy him out. What is it going to take to buy him out? So that's going to be you're absolutely right, T. That's going to be the challenge for the Drua to how do they manage and keep their talent, because they're on a global stage where they're going to get picked up and that pound, that yen, that euro, it's got a lot of weight.
It's got
a lot of weight in your decision making. So, but hopefully they can find a good balance between, you know, where they sign them in for that first 3 years, go develop, then they can go, but try and get them back.
Or so, just like Toto said, they just find them the next one up. And, you know, if it is a platform for these players to be able to go and, you know, look after their families long term, yeah, I think the draw should be proud of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And this weekend, they're back home in Fiji, in Lotoka, where they'll play the Waratahs. And it's a double header as well with the girls playing. But let's head over to Shelley Long with the Long Story Short.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Yes, our PNG Orchids and North Queensland Cowboys NRLW superstar. Shelley, thank you for joining us once again.
Thanks, guys. I love jumping on here every Monday and talking to you. I feel like it just gets my week, you know, right on track.
I love to hear it, and I love to wait to hear this news about any signings that we've taken from Union again that we're drip feeding to Sammy. But before we get there,
boring.
How was game two with the Mackay Cutters?
Yeah, we had a really good game. We ended up winning against Sunshine Coast Falcons 26 points to 18. It was definitely a grindy game. I think for over 15 minutes it was 18 points to 20, so we were only up by 2 points for like almost half of that second half. But the travel, it was definitely rough on us. I just got a message actually from our coach saying, you know, guys, it was a tough weekend. I might let you have tonight off. Score. but it was a challenge. It was definitely a challenge.
To paint the picture for our listeners, you and the Cowboys girls that live in Townsville had to drive down to Mackay the night before the game, do captain's run, fly to Brisbane, drive to Sunshine Coast, play the game, and then do that whole thing backwards?
Yeah, so we drive down to Mackay, so it ends up being about 5 to 5.5 hour drive for us. We do our captain's run, we spend the night in Mackay, and then we flew out. We flew out with our manager who packed our jerseys, but our coaching staff and everyone else just caught another plane because there wasn't enough room for everyone. We've flown out, we've got to Brisbane, we then go to our hotel. Our hotel is actually based in Brisbane for that. Our coaching staff, we've then driven to the Sunshine Coast. Our coaching staff have not left yet from Mackay. So we get to the Sunshine Coast. Sunshine Coast had to help strap us, give us gear. Like, we're super grateful to the Sunshine Coast for doing that. You know, you're giving the opponents all the potentially win a game. Then we played just before we ran onto the field. Sorry, our coaching staff arrived. We played. Then we had to bus it back to Brisbane because our hotel, like I said, was in Brisbane. So we got back about just before 9 o'clock at night. Checked in, had dinner. And then flew out the next morning. So I'm quite happy. You know, we got to fly back to Townsville. That was definitely a relief. Previously, there was talks that we were going to have to fly to Mackay and then drive home. But, yes.
You know what? Even if your coach didn't send the message, I wouldn't have went to training anyway. Give yourself a couple of days off. You deserve it. And you got the job done. So thank you.
You got the win, exactly.
Sunshine Coast.
Oh, thanks, guys. But, like, yeah, I think, you know, there's always that talk about North Queenslanders being tough people, and they always talk about the travel that you have to do living in North Queensland. So I think, you know, as a kid, when I had footy, it was kind of, you know, maybe a 2-hour car trip. That was it. But now when you're playing in this competition, it's a lot of big travel hours. But hopefully and eventually the pathway for us will get better, and the financial side of things as well will end up getting better, and we won't see this situation kind of happen throughout the years to come.
Yeah, nice. The Queensland Cup is underway for the women. So what were the results that caught your eye?
Yeah, there were a few tight games over the weekend. Wynnum narrowly beating Capitals 24 points to 22. It was a very rough end to the game. Two girls ended up getting sent off in that game. So quite a physical end to it. But besides that, Burley also just held off a very strong Clydesdale team, 18 points to 14. Burley ended up scoring three tries within the 15 minutes, but after that weren't able to secure very many points down in that track down throughout the game. However, Clydesdale did manage to come back a little bit.
Any signing news that we can upset our mate over here?
Sorry, Sam. Unfortunately, no news yet on any more rugby union players coming to rugby league.
Yet.
That might be next week. But Georgia Hale, Kiwi Fern International, has re-signed at the Titans for another 2 years. The captain is a great keep for the team and someone I'm excited to see back playing. She is over in England at the moment, representing over there. Along with Georgia Hale, Taylor Amiatu has also re-signed for another 2 years with the Parramatta Eels. She is an incredible and physical front row for them. So great, another great signing for Parramatta Eels.
Yeah, Hale's a beast for the Gold Coast Titans. I wonder, is she playing union over the UK or is she there for a holiday? Or
no, she's actually there playing rugby league. So she was at the Leeds Rhinos last season.
Oh, yeah.
And she's back. Her partner does play in the Super League over there as well. The Rugby League National Championships is kicking off on Wednesday. There are two new teams in that championships, Fiji and PNG. So this is the first time that we've seen Fiji and PNG to participate in the Rugby League National Championships. Previously, we did see New Zealand come into the mix, but it's incredible news for both those countries to be able to play and potentially gain some opportunities for players to come into the NRLW.
That's exciting. That's well done. But let's go over to rugby union. There were some big results there, especially the one up in Brisbane, the Reds versus the Fijian Drua.
Yes. So Super W kicked off Friday night with the Western Forces showcasing their talents against the hard-fought Rebels team. Western Forces won 36 points to 12 over the Rebels, while the Waratahs continued to stay strong in the opening rounds, winning 45 points to 10 against the Brumbies. Sam, you just spoke a little bit about Fijian Drua. They had an incredible game. So they versus the Reds on the weekend at the Reds' home ground, and they had a strong win, 32 points to 21. I think that they are looking really good this season as well.
Yeah,
did you have anyone that you thought stood out?
Yes, I did. Three players from the Fijian team, Waisenga, Naisewa, and Roku Ono, the number 10. All three of them were outstanding, especially Roku Ono being the fly half. Defensively, she was outstanding. Not too many tens can tackle that well, but she bucked the trend and put on some really good shots. And the other one from the Reds, we talked about her before, and I think she is going to the Broncos at some point. Shalom Saoso, the young 16-year-old, she might have turned 17. She scored a great try off the scrum, beat four defenders to score. So it was good to see her make her Queensland Reds debut, the Samoan.
Yeah, incredible. Because I think we've previously touched a little bit about Shalom in the pre-Super W competitions.
Yes, we did, yep.
But also about Roko Ono actually played at the Cowboys with us. And can I just say, when we were in the trial, when we were in trainings, no one wanted to line up against her because there is a video of her absolutely folding one of the players on the tackle pad. Apple pad, but she absolutely comes flying and folds them.
Yeah, I thought it was strange for number 10 because she was actually looking for that type of hit. Like front rowers running at her, back rowers, and she just wanted it. And I was like, wow, you don't really see that from 10. So that really caught my eye in that game.
She is incredible. She came over with one of our other girls from Fiji. They spoke very little English. By the end of it, they were speaking fluent English. I remember Silly Sunday. She's talking full English sentences to all these words under the sun. But she is someone that I think is really going to stand out, especially in that Super W. And who knows, maybe she might find herself another NRLW contract as well.
Oh, well, I hope not, because if the draw is going to go a three-peat, if she keeps playing the way she did on the weekend, outstanding.
Just, I had one last thing. So, Shanice Parker, proud Māori woman. I'm not too sure if you guys saw. She's also a premiership winner with the Newcastle Knights. presented a signed jersey to a member who supported the club for over 30 years and supported the Knights since 88. So 1988, that's a lot of years. I just think that that deserves a shout out in our section for doing such incredible things, especially to the supporters. You know, a lot of the time they come up, they show up, they support us. And as players, we generally thank them, but we don't really get to see a lot of things like this happen in our game. So I just wanted to shout that one out.
Great work, Shanice. Yeah. And great work to you too, Shelley. That was some great news across the Australia and Pacific in both rugby and rugby league. We look forward to seeing you next week on The Long Story Short.
Thanks, guys. Looking
Thanks, Shelley.
To-
appreciate it.
Culture Shock.
Yes, Sammy, we've covered tattoos, Tongan mats, and musical instruments, but this week we're keeping it broad and heading to PNG. What have you got for us, Sammy?
Well, I had to reach out to our good friends at Neja Daily, Michael Chow, just to give me some direction on what would be an interesting fact around PNG and what it's like. And I actually found this quite remarkable when you think about it. He told me we're going to go down the path of languages.
Ooh, okay.
So
don't they have a number of different languages? Like they got Tok Pidgin, but then each tribe.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Can you give me like just a ballpark figure on what you think how many there is?
I heard there was a lot. I'm going to say 50-something.
50? You're about 750 short. It's 800 native languages in PNG.
No, there isn't.
There is.
800 different languages in one country.
In one country, which makes PNG
the most... fact-checked on that?
Well, Neja Daily, fact-check from them.
Sorry, what did you say? It makes them...
Makes them the most linguistically... Is that how you say it? Linguistically? Diverse country on the planet with all those different languages. So you can imagine, they just travel down the road. So if you traveled from... Where did you travel from? Penrith? To my area of Bankstown, and we spoke a different language. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I didn't think that the country was that big to have 800 different languages.
Yeah, well, it doesn't need to be. It's a short distance, as you were saying, where you just go to the next village and they're speaking something totally different they wouldn't be able to understand. That's crazy, eh?
That is insane.
So, yeah.
What example? You got any examples or names of any of the languages? Or
yep.
Is that all you got for us? For
no,
you're
not. Please, please.
Oh, you got
let
more?
Me finish. I've got more. Lucky I put in one. Lucky. Well, Tok Pidgin, I think Tok Pidgin.
Tok Pidgin, yeah.
Tok Pidgin is the one that unites all of them together. Everyone understands. But there's another one where he said, this is probably the one that surprises most people, is the village of Engan. E-N-G-A-N. There's a population of about 500,000 people, and for some reason, somehow, they have one language within that community. So whereas all the other ones, it's not as big, not as populated, and they have different languages. So this time around, 500,000 people speak in the one language, and that's from the Engan village. So that's blown my mind, actually, that thinking that I wouldn't be able to understand. Live in the same country, but couldn't understand what you were saying. But... Then I found out another fun fact. This is where your mind will be even more blown, T.
Mate, okay. It's already blown with the 800 different languages.
Oh, have a listen to this.
Papua New Guinea has over 800 different distinct languages that we don't know from one place to another, province to another, or tribe to another. So Tok Pidgin is a language in Papua New Guinea that unites the entire country, apart from our rugby league, of course.
So there you go. We found out rugby league is a language. Over in PNG. Well, thank you, Michael Chow, for that fun fact. And T, your turn next week. Since I went to Michael on that one, I want you to go to Jacob and just try and get a bit of facts around Vanuatu.
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 Sweet as, done.
Hey, up next, man of the moment.
It is time.
Superman. He's the man that can fly.
Superman, Spider-Man, Stretch
All
Man.
All of them. All of them. He is coming on up next, the man, Xavier Coates.
It's Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Sammy, I don't know how we managed to get one of the greats on our show. He's brushed all the big media outlets to join us here.
Yes.
Here on Nation Footy. He was born in Port Moresby, played over 100 NRL games for the Brisbane Broncos and the Melbourne Storm. scored over 60 tries. That's a lot more tries than me and you, Sammy.
And together.
Represented Queensland in the state of origin, the great PNG Kumuls as well, and scored one of the greatest tries in the history of NRL on the weekend. Xavier Coates, thank you for joining us, brother.
No worries. Thanks, guys, for having me. Stoked to be here.
Well, before we start, let's play the moment that everyone is talking about.
Meany, 16 away from the line, and he'll play the ball 18 in from the eastern touchline. Hughes, Pappenhausen left, numbers, Remus Smith gets it away to Xavier Coates, who claims what will be a spectacular try. Can you believe it? Xavier Coates flies as high as the Melbourne skyline.
As high as the Melbourne skyline. Mate, what a moment. Has it sunk in yet? Like how great that try actually was?
I think it has now. I've seen the replay a few times. A few of my mates have sent it to me as well. A few of them said I was carrying on a bit. I should have just put the ball down normally, but it's a pretty cool moment.
I know you're probably sick of talking about it, or how good it was, but someone where we don't really usually hear him give too much praise is your coach, Craig Bellamy. And he said in his press conference, you've had one of the best pre-seasons ever, and you doing that on the weekend wasn't a fluke. You practiced that a lot. Can you give a bit of detail around how you practice it? Like, do you have gymnasts come in, acrobatics, anything like that to help you score those type of tries?
Well, to be honest, there's not really anyone that sort of comes in and helps us with that, but I had a bit of an upbringing. I had an athletics background, so I was really big into my long jump and triple jump, and I think transitioning from athletics into rugby league, it took a bit of understanding about rugby league, but also adding a bit of my individual characteristics to it. So I think that's helped my transition onto the wing and, finishing off opportunities. And in training, I practice it a fair bit. I put a pad out next to the corner post and I get one of the coaches to pass the ball into me and another coach to sort of come across as if he's a defender. And my job is to sort of position my body in a way where I can finish and put the ball down and sort of stop that defender from interfering with the ball or slapping the ball out of my hand. So it's practiced a fair bit. Pretty much every training session I'm doing that after we finish our field sessions. And, the more repetitions you get of it, the better you get at it. So that's something Bells is really big on and is massive about. If you train well, you'll play well. So if you keep that sort of in the back of your mind when you head into training, that's something I do. Make sure that I train well, which gives me confidence so that when it comes to those situations on the weekend, I can finish off on them.
What was going through your mind when you received the ball and you've got Dullin that's chasing you from the inside and I've seen you jump from about 6-7 meters away from the try line? What was going through your thought process as you caught it?
Well, I was actually sort of hoping that Dallin sunk in a bit with Remus, but he actually defended it really well, Dallin. I don't think he gets enough props for it, but he came across and I knew that I had to get my body in the air, otherwise he was taking me into touch. So, it happened pretty quick. I don't really know sort of how to explain it, but I knew just I had to get up in the air and somehow sort of get the ball into my right hand to place it down on the try line.
So, obviously, with going back to your long jump and triple jump days, you understood that, man, 6 meters out, I'm going to plant my foot here and go, I'm definitely going to make it.
Yeah, so I think I had a bit of an understanding on where I can sort of jump from to sort of get to the try line. And obviously, when you do long jump or triple jump, you're sort of landing on your feet. But, in rugby league, I could sort of dive with my body. So, I thought if I could just leap, give myself an opportunity to sort of get to the try line, I could sort of plant the ball down. So I reckon I hit my perfect position where I could sort of, if it was any more back, I probably wouldn't have made it to the try line. So I think it was pretty cool in the aspect that I sort of jumped and it sort of worked out perfectly where I could just sort of just place the ball down.
In basketball, it's called a poster. And
yeah, so I'm picturing Michael Jordan, those type of players.
All those big players. But I always look at the defender and, Dullin's a good friend of mine and he's been here on Nesian Footy as well. So I feel sorry because he's going to be in that frame shot where you've just jumped over the top of him and, his body's facing downwards. But if you were Dullin or if you're in that position as a defender, how would you defend you trying to stop that try?
Man, it's pretty tough saying it because I don't think the viewers realise. They watch the replays and it's just slow motion. The moment in the game when it happens, it goes dead set like the click of a thumb. Like, it goes so quick. So for me to sit here and criticise how Dallin sort of defended it, it's pretty stupid because, you know, like if I was in that situation, man, I would have done the exact same thing. Like, it happens so quick and people sit at home, sit on the couch and say, man, he should have wrapped his legs or he should have wrapped his arms around him and took him into touch. Like, pretty easy for someone sitting on the couch to sort of say that who hasn't been in that position before. Like, he defended that really well, but, you know, it happened really quick and I was just lucky enough to get the ball down.
Great answer.
Yeah. Well, I guess I understand 100%, totally agree. Like, it's easier said than done, you know, what he could have, should have, would have done. But, you know, my background is I can't defend to save my life. So I've been a poster boy plenty of times for people's right footstep and all that and miss. But just for, I guess, understanding, do you go for the ball in that situation? Are you going for your arm? Are you going for the legs? Like, where do you go? Like, just as a general rule of thumb, if someone's diving like that?
So usually you try and swipe at the arm to sort of, because when you're diving in the corner, you sort of, you have your grip in one hand. So any opportunity you really can get to try swipe at the arm to disrupt that, usually the ball comes loose. Like I said, like it happens so quick. So to be able to think about that coming into it, like it's pretty tough.
Obviously, PNG background, I've got no doubt there's going to be so many young boys and girls trying to practice that try over there. Do you have any advice for the young boys and girls to practice that safely? Because I know that there's seen some of the grounds over there. There's no mats. There's no safety on that. Should they be doing it in the beach or, you know, should they just practice it out in the village?
Man, I would say practice on sand, but I've seen some video footage on Facebook of the boys practicing in the village on the grass and it looks tough, man. When they land, it looks like they're hurting their shoulders, but they're still doing it. So I say practice it safely, but I don't think they're listening. The way that they play their footy in PNG, they're 100 miles an hour. So it's pretty cool to watch. But yeah, they definitely should try and practice on sand because it looks pretty sore the way they land on a few of them.
That's why we say whenever we play the Kumuls is that you guys are made out of granite. We've seen the field that Dave and me post on social media where there's like gravel and rocks and that's where the kids are all playing footy. It must make you like, you know, made out of rocks. So speaking of the PNG Kumuls, for you representing the PNG Kumuls, what's it like?
Man, it's a special feeling. I remember debuting for the PNG Kumuls back when I was 18 years of age and I was in sort of the under 20 system at the Broncos. So I wasn't in the NRL squad and they sort of kept an eye out on me and I was lucky enough to get given the opportunity. So I hadn't played first grade at the time. I only just played my Q Cup debut. So for them to give faith in an 18-year-old and play me at centre is something very special. And, you know, it's very emotional when you're standing there singing the national anthem and seeing your family in the crowd with tears of joy. It's something very, very special. And I just remember being born in Papua New Guinea, that's the pinnacle of anything you do in Papua New Guinea. It's to play for the PNG Kumuls, to pull on that yellow jersey, yellow, red and black jersey. It's something very special. And I remember just singing the national anthem, looking in the crowd and seeing my mum with tears of joy because her son's just played for the PNG Kumuls. And, man, it's pretty cool reminiscing on it. And I definitely want to pull on that jersey again. I haven't had an opportunity to. It's been a little bit annoying with injuries and so forth, but yeah, definitely something very special and I'm looking forward to the future pulling on that Kumuls jersey.
Yeah, outstanding. Speaking of some other family members, you know, I came across this clip where before the World Cup, I think in 2022, it might have been the airport, your auntie and your grandmother were there and she shed those tears as well when she saw you. Yeah, can you describe, I guess, the feeling, not only from your mum's point of view, but just your extended family, your grandmother, when you see them in PNG representing your country?
Yeah, it's definitely a crazy feeling. The last time I seen my auntie, my grandma, all my sort of relatives over in PNG was 13 plus years ago. So when I landed in PNG, they probably remembered me as a short little kid and then now I'm 6'4" and a little bit more filled out. And yeah, it was just tears of joy, like I said, again, for them seeing me. And it's been such a long time since I've seen them and to sort of connect with my culture again. It's pretty tough sort of when I was coming through primary school and high school, you don't get very many opportunities to head back home because of schooling, and it's so long throughout the year. And then you come to Christmas time, and I had a fair bit of my dad's side of the family who was back in Australia. So we spent majority of Christmas with those sort of relatives, and to get that opportunity to go over to PNG and reconnect with my culture, with my family, it was something definitely very special, and I hold it very close to my heart. But I'm still learning my culture. You know, I'm still very raw with it, but I'm very passionate about it, and I'm still slowly learning it. And there was someone who was here at the Storm, Justin Ollam, who was a big motivator in me heading back to PNG. I know we had the World Cup in 2022, and they were sort of talking about where we want to have a camp and whether we should have camp in Australia with all the boys coming together. And Juzzy was a big influence in saying, no, there's a few boys in the PNG squad who are sort of half sort of PNG, half another nationality, and they haven't had the opportunity to go over to PNG and sort of reconnect with their culture. And it was a massive opportunity for us to go back over there and relive sort of that sort of childhood that we had being born in PNG and being a part of that community. And to head back there, it's something very special, and I hold it very close to my heart.
Well, something I learned today about your culture is that there's over 800 languages.
Different languages?
It's crazy. In such a small country, I thought, how did you manage to have 800 different languages in PNG? Speaking of the NRL and the PNG, what's your thoughts on if the 18th team was to go to PNG?
I reckon it would be a very cool sort of scene if we got a PNG team in the NRL system, but I think there's a lot of things we need to do in the background. You know, we need to sort of create a scene for youth to sort of have opportunities to come through the ranks. There's not really a system built in there yet. So I think Juzzy's spoken to me a bit about it and understanding it. Obviously, I'm no expert at this and there's a lot more to it, but I think we need to sort of build a sort of junior system where they can come up the ranks and then have the opportunity to play for PNG in the NRL system. I think once we built that system, give the youth of PNG an opportunity to sort of come up the hierarchy and to play into that team, I think would be a good sort of stepping stone into PNG being an 18th NRL team.
It means it's long-lasting, eh?
Yeah.
Where it's not just a quick fix.
It can't be. You've got to build the foundations right, the systems right, so, you know, it's lasting for a long time, and it's something people are proud to want to represent, not just if it's not done properly, then it's just going to all fall to bits. But you mentioned the development. Like, can you explain to us what rugby league does for kids? Like, how is it used as a vehicle for discipline or goal setting, just enjoyment? Like, that development. So can you explain to us what it's like for the kids in PNG where rugby league plays a part in their life?
Well, it's a massive part for all the kids in PNG. That's, like I said, that's the national sport. And I think a really cool thing is having people like Justin Ollam and David Mead, who's been in those systems, who's been in PNG, where there's not very many opportunities to make the NRL. And to see Justin Ollam, David Mead, head overseas, over to Australia, and sort of become the NRL players that they have become, it's a massive motivation for those youth to see that, like, it's not impossible. You know, if you have that hard work, you have the dedication and the discipline, you know, you can get anywhere in life, no matter whether it's being an NRL player or whether it's being a doctor or whatever occupation you want to follow. If you have that dedication, you're willing to work hard and you're willing to sort of focus on the objectives and the goals that you set, man, you can make it in anything in life. So it's pretty cool to have people like I said, Justin Ollam, David Mead, those boys who have been in the villages of PNG and who have put in that hard work, make it on the big stage. So it's definitely something pretty cool for those kids to look up to.
I love that that advice. You've mentioned Justin Ollam a few times now, and it sounds like he's played a big influence in your life and your culture. Now that he's gone on to the West Tigers, you being at Melbourne Storm, how do you connect or stay connected to your culture?
Well, Juzzy's still a massive asset to us boys who really know Justin, and the whole team knows how good of a person Juzzy is, and we're all still talking to him to this day, and we all wish him all the best at the Tigers because we know that the Tigers just got a massive asset in Juzzy, and it's going to be tough, you know, when we play the Tigers because none of us are going to be running at him. We're going to be avoiding him, so there's no one going to be running at Juzzy. But yeah, we still connect with them, and you know, if it's someone that's really important to you, you're going to invest time into them, and we still invest so much time in each other, and we just want to see the best out of Juzzy.
Well, you're born in Port Moresby. Can you tell us a bit about your own upbringing?
Yeah, so I was born in Port Moresby, and before I was even one, I moved over to Australia. So that's why I say I'm really raw with the PNG sort of culture, and I'm still learning it. But when I was back in Australia, my mum was still sort of pushing for me to understand my culture and my upbringing. But from PNG perspective, I was born in Port Moresby, but my mum's side of the family is from Kerama. So that's the capital of the Gulf province. So it's along the coastline of PNG. So my mum says that's where I get my height from, because there's not too many PNG people who have a bit of height. But she said that because I'm from the coastline, our sort of relatives are a bit more longer. And we used to go hunting in the waters to sort of catch food to bring it back to sort of our village. And that's where I get my height from. So I know that my uncles are pretty tall as well. So yeah, it's pretty cool to learn that sort of aspect of things. But, you know, like I said, I'm still learning a lot, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Man, that's unreal to hear your story. And I know you've got a busy schedule. We really appreciate your time. You've got an infectious smile and energy about you, and we wish you all the best throughout your whole career. And hopefully that we get to see you one day in the Kumbles jersey at some point. But until then, man, much love and keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks very much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Nation knowledge.
Sammy, last week your questions were ridiculously hard, so I thought I'd make it a bit more entertaining for our listeners. The score is 5-3 to you, Sammy. I'm down by 2 points, so I have to come with some
very hard questions.
Shots.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. All right, I'll get these.
Let's go. First one.
Confident today.
The question is: who is the top point scorer for the PNG Kumbles?
Oh, I actually. He plays for that team in the UK, the Leopards.
Does he?
He does. The Leopards. Goal kicker. And I don't know his name, but I know who you're talking about, because he is a great goal kicker, sharpshooter. And he...
The Leopards?
Is it Lee Leopards? Is that who he plays for?
Or the Rhinos.
It doesn't matter. I don't know his name, but...
We've said his name a few times. He plays for the Leeds Rhinos and also holds the record for the most games for the PNG Kumbles. Reece Martin.
Reece Martin, that's his name.
Zero. Second question. Where are the Solomon Islands Rugby Union National Team currently ranked? I'll accept three less or three more from the answer.
Where does the ranking finish for your Rugby Union?
It goes down to over 100.
I'm going to say they are ranked 96.
Oh, so close. You just had to flip the numbers around. And go 69.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait. I apologize. 69 was their highest ranked, which they were ranked in 2011. But currently, which I was still wrong, they're 106th.
Oh, hang
place.
On a tick. You
and
said
there's only six teams that are ranked lower. Than Solomon. Yeah.
Yeah, but so hang on a tick.
Third
You're just
question.
Moving on, aren't you? Oh, my goodness.
Solomon, third question. This is one. So the third question for everyone listening, you can go out the box, any kind of question. So my third question for Sammy here is, a rainbow typically consists of how many colors?
Red and yellow and pink and green, purple and orange and blue, 7.
7 is correct.
Yes.
It was red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet are the 7 colours.
Yes, I got 1 point, so that takes me to 6. To you, Tinnerout, 3. Yes, oh, I'm starting to get a really good lead here. But that is our time up for today, too. It's been an outstanding episode on Nijan Footy. Remember, there's recent chats with Pauline Rasambale, Mick Byrne, and plenty more, which you can listen back to wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.